Well, we're going to open up secret door number two in just a moment, and guess who that person might be? And then onward with the interview, we shall go. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let's open up the door, the secret door number two. That sounds like a Halloween door to me. And let's see who comes in. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Well, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
You have been a guest of the program before?
Yes, I have.
Many times?
A few times.
Just a few? Let me see. You're changing your voice a bit, but not much.
Just a bit.
Are you more conspiratorial or into the paranormal?
I would have to say more into the paranormal.
Really? All right. You're not Lionel Fanthorpe.
Not today.
I've got two more guesses, and that's it for me. Do I know you well?
Define well.
John Hogue?
Not John Hogue.
Well, I'm 0 for 2. This is it.
Is there a ghost in your house?
There might be a ghost in my house. I don't know who you are. Who are you?
Would you like me to give you more hints?
I'm giving up. I'm resigning.
You're resigning? Ah, so I've stumped you.
You have stumped me. Who are you?
It's Chip Coffee.
Oh, Chip. I just had you on Beyond Belief.
You did. That was going to be my clue that we were just on television.
How could I not guess this?
I don't know.
And you, of course, were in my hometown of St. Louis doing the little boy exorcism house.
We did.
Ah,
we did.
That was good. You're good. I'm 1 for 1 now.
Well,
I've got one more guest next hour, and that'll be it.
I wish you luck on that one.
Thank you. How have you been?
I've been doing well. How are you?
Good. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself, Chip.
I'm a psychic and a medium. I talk to dead people. People would probably know me best for one of three things: for 31 guest appearances on Paranormal State, for co-hosting three seasons of a television show called Psychic Kids, and for the appearance that I did on Exorcism Live, which was a live broadcast last Halloween from St. Louis and the home of the Exorcist House of the original exorcism that spawned the book and the movie The Exorcist.
And tell me about the house, because is that where the little boy stayed? Because he was in that hospital too, right?
He was in the hospital there locally. That, from what I understand and remember, was where he was moved. But the original exorcism, some of the original exorcisms that were done on him were done in the house that we visited. And I've actually been in the bedroom where the little boy was exorcised. He was a teenager, a young teenager, so... You know, it's a pretty frightening story, actually. It's worth doing some research on and looking into.
Could you feel anything when you were in the house?
Absolutely. The interesting thing is that I can't really go into detail because I signed a form saying that I wouldn't talk.
A non-disclosure, didn't you? Yeah.
Right. But one of the things I will tell you is, let's just talk in generalities.
All right.
No matter how much holy water or praying or hamana hamana one does, if a welcome mat is placed out in front of a house, evil won't leave.
It's invited in, isn't it?
In some cases, it is.
Is it like a Ouija board?
I don't know if it's like a Ouija board. People ask me about Ouija boards all the time, George, and I think it's a piece of cardboard or pressed wood. The deal is, I think it's the intent that you use it with. I think it's the combined energy of the living and the dead that produces results.
I think so, too. Well, what a great time to have you on as a secret door person.
Well, when they invited me to come on, I jumped at the opportunity. And well, I always do when it's you that's involved, because, you know, I think we have some pretty, pun intended, spirited conversations.
We sure do. I'm trying to get Halloween recognized to be just on Friday, the last Friday of October. I think it feels better rather than a Monday night, don't you think?
You know, it seems like we should be able to celebrate it for a weekend so we can just...
Yeah, just have three nice days of it.
I think that there probably be some pushback for that because of the whole Beltane thing and all. Is that what it's called? Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong holiday, but there's another holiday. I'm thinking Beltane is in the spring. There's another name for Halloween in the pagan community, but I'm drawing a blank.
Samhain, I think.
Okay, you're probably right. I'm mixing things up. Somebody will probably slap my hand and correct me, but my old brain is not thinking. I'm in Branson, Missouri right now.
Oh, really? Love it down there.
It's my first trip. I'm doing an event tomorrow Saturday at the...
There's a Titanic Museum
down
there.
That's exactly where I'm at.
Ah! Oh, you're going to love that.
Mr. Psychic here. That's exactly where I'm doing an event.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you have lots of people show up. That is one heck of an area. I know the family that owns Silver Dollar City down there in Branson.
I have not had a chance to go there. We're thinking about taking a drive over tomorrow.
Well, that's super. That's the whole area is great. How's the weather down there now?
It's actually pretty good. Today was in the 80s, and you know it's cooled down a little bit tonight, but it's been rather nice. We had a little bit of rain today, but it blew in and blew out very quickly.
Hey, I don't want to dwell on this, but it is a news story. I want to ask you about that. The star of the defunct television show Paranormal State was recently arrested, keeping a rental vehicle for a while that was supposed to be returned, so it's almost like a stolen vehicle. And do you know anything much about what's going on there?
I'll tell you, without editorializing, what I know. I've read online and verified that Ryan Buell rented a car in Pennsylvania at the end of July that was supposed to be returned on the 1st of August. He did not return the car on time. And according to reports, the rental car company, Hertz, I believe, tried to reach out to him through email, through telephone calls, even went to the address that he listed. They were told he didn't live there. They tried to reach out through his Facebook page. His credit card that he put down would not take any more charges. They finally, I guess, after an extended period of time, took out a warrant, and he was found on the 18th of September near his family home in South Carolina, still in possession of the vehicle almost 7 weeks after it was supposed to be.
Oh, my God.
His mother wrote an impassioned post on
social
Facebook on social media, alluding to the fact that there was some addiction problems going on.
Something was wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, and that he allegedly, by his own account, had pancreatic cancer, and she even stated that he indeed did not ever have cancer.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. So the way I feel about Ryan is I worked extensively with him, and we had a couple of different fallings out, and he also has promised people things, taken money from people and promised people things that he has not delivered, such as events and classes and merchandise to the tune of many, many, and I'm talking $100,000 or more.
Of merchandise?
And events. George, I was slated to do an event with him once, and I don't want to rake anybody over the coals.
No, and I don't want to convict the guy. You know, but
I was slated to do an event with him at one point in time, a six-city tour, and the last account I had of how much money was in the bank, or in the account, the Eventbrite account or whatever,
right?
It was in excess of $80,000.
Wow.
And I want your listeners to know I received none of that money. And as soon as I was made aware of the fact that there were some improprieties associated with this event, I spoke to my lawyer, I spoke to my agent, and we quickly extricated ourselves from that situation.
Yep, just got out of it.
To not be in any way culpable or conspiring to take money that was not going to, for events that were not going to happen.
Well, that's sad, disappointing, and I hope he gets his act together.
He had such a bright future.
He did.
I mean, bright future.
That the show Paranormal State, I mean, was a pretty good show.
You know, thank you for that. You know, I was proud of the work that I did on the show, and I think that when it was at its best for the first three or four seasons, I think that the show was like lightning in a bottle. And they did some very creative things. They made it their goal to help families. And it was more like paranormal with a social work bent to it. You know, you just didn't go in and investigate and leave the people high and dry like it appears that some shows do. They really took an active interest in trying to be useful and helpful to the clients that they were working with. So,
I mean, you're not going to get rich on it like the big stars do in TV drama shows, but it's steady.
Well, trust me, I didn't get rich on that show. The most money I ever made from the show was $1,000 an episode. But, you know, reality TV for those people, unless you're one of the housewives or you're on one of the really, really successful shows.
You don't make a lot.
You're not going to make a lot of money on reality television.
But you're a paranormal investigator, and that's what you love.
That's what I absolutely love.
What has been for you the strangest story or something that scared the living daylights out of you? I love those stories.
I don't often get scared, but I'll give you a couple of examples here. On one of the episodes of Paranormal State, let's talk about that, I heard a guttural, masculine, evil-sounding voice come out of the body of a 3-year-old female child. That got my attention. The house was supposedly demonically oppressed and fairly well infested pretty well, let's put it that way. The little girl said, "Get out of my house." And I was like, "I have car keys, I'm leaving." But, you know, we stayed and helped the family. But when you hear that kind of a thing come out of a kid, it's very disturbing for the fact that it was later 100% verified that the mother was being assaulted, physically assaulted, sexually assaulted by whatever was in the house, and that the demonic presence in the house then threatened the child. So when you come across those sort of cases, it's crisis mode.
What drives you, Chip, to keep pushing in this field?
Probably the fact that I need psychiatric help for being such a wonderful codependent. You know, I think there's a level of codependency that I fight. I don't ever want to step over into that fixer mode. But, you know, I, more than that, I think I've positioned myself in a place that I think we all would like in some capacity to be well remembered for what we do in life. But I think more than anything, it's that desire to try to help those people that are in need, to try to make someone's life make more sense or for their life to be made better. Help. Even if I don't feel like I'm doing it myself, to be able to facilitate something for them or give them some peace or some comfort or some clarity. I think that's pretty much what it is.
Let's go back and talk about the exorcism case of the little boy. Some believe that the kid just made these things up. Cut himself up, did these things to him. Others say, no, this guy was possessed. This kid was possessed. What do you think? What happened to him?
I think it can be a little bit of both. And I'll tell you why I say that. I think there's a very fine line between, let me back up for a second. I think that, like I said, it's a combination of the living and the dead. I think that it can be, it's never a simple thing. It's always what's going on in the third dimension combined with what's going on from the paranormal. If there's an influence of one, there's probably an influence of both. I also have a background in psychology, traditional counseling and therapy.
That helps.
It does. And I will tell you that I worked at one point in time in a psychiatric facility, an adolescent unit of a private psychiatric facility. And when I worked there, there was a young girl who was very correctly diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. And she felt that she was being observed and watched, and perhaps they were trying to overtake her by aliens. Anytime she would see an alien, if she would be in the common room, the day room, and an alien would come on television on Star Trek, or
she'd freak out.
She would freak. She had one of these experiences, and I'm going to tell you a very true story, George. She saw an alien on television. She had to be taken to the intensive treatment unit, which basically is a padded cell. So she's in this room, and it was time to observe her. And I'd just come on shift with a coworker of mine, mm-hmm. the 3 to 11 shift. We walk down the hall to observe the girl, whose name, let's call her Lucy. So Lucy is in the room, and we went up to the, she could not hear us approach. We walked up to the door, looked through the little locked door, the little window in the locked door. Somehow it seemed as though Lucy knew we were there because she was sitting on the floor with her back to the door, her back stiffened, and as she came up, her head started to turn, and it kept turning, and it kept turning, and it kept turning until her face was facing us, and her face was looking out of her back. Wow. Her head had legitimately not done a 360, but it had done a 180. Your back, your head can't do that. It snaps your spinal column.
It sounds like a real exorcist case. Jeez.
Her head was looking out of her back. My response was, oh, hell no. And my very practical, pragmatic coworker, who also witnessed this with me because we're in a hospital, looked at me and said, how the heck are we going to chart this? And indeed, we didn't, because people would have thought we were...
You were nuts.
But I witnessed this with my own eyes, as did my coworker, and we saw this girl's head start to turn, and the most frightening, possessed look on this girl's face. So I think a lot of times that whole psychological, possessed/paranormal, whatever, I think those edges bleed sometimes.
Whatever happened to her, do you know?
I don't know. I moved away. I was only at this job, I think, for about 8 or 9 months, and I ended up moving from Florida, which was where this was, back to New York State, and so a lot of the people that were there, we weren't allowed to stay in communication with any of the patients when we left, so I don't know. Lucy was 17 years old, and she probably, you know, the longest they could keep her there legally was until she was 18 as an inpatient, so she was bordering on that.
Truly tormented, though, wasn't she?
There was something much more than just the paranoid schizophrenia going on with Lucy. I think that there really had some sort of a supernatural element associated with that.
What part of the paranormal do you not like? Would you prefer not to get involved with?
The whole demonic stuff.
Okay.
That's totally out of my wheelhouse.
Are you uncomfortable with that?
Who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know what we don't know. I mean, we're basically, even with anything paranormal, we're going in sort of almost blind. I mean, there are people like John Zaffis and Rosemary Ellen Guiley and Bishop James Long and a host of priests that are out there that are much more experienced with knowing what to do in cases like this. I can go and assist. I can speak a little Latin. I can throw some holy water around, and I can certainly pray up a storm.
With the best of them.
With the best of them. But you know what, when it comes to, and there is, as you well know, George, there's no prescriptive method for anything in the paranormal. You have to try everything till something works.
That is so true. Stay with us, Chip. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take some phone calls with you as we talk about the paranormal. Our secret door guest number two, paranormal investigator, Chip Coffey. And he stumped me, so I'm one for one. I've got one more next hour. We'll see if I can come across with two and one, but you just never know. But we're going to come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM and take your phone calls. Don't go away. Psychic medium Chip Coffey with us. He was behind the secret door. I did not guess who he was. We're going to take your calls with him for the remaining portion of this hour, and then one more secret door person next hour as well. Chip Coffey with us, psychic medium, and your phone calls. Chip, when you go on these specialized investigations, do you always come back with some kind of paranormal experience, or sometimes nothing?
Most of the time, something happens, and that's what's interesting. Even if it's small things that are unexplainable, I almost always have something that I can not rationally explain.
It happens.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. I would like to think that, you know, like I said, the interaction of the living and the dead, I think that with our intent, if we go in with good intent, that lots of times the spirit world is ready and willing, they're willing to come out and play.
Was this ability of yours genetic, family?
My great-grandmother was a Native American medicine woman. My mom had some abilities. I've had cousins with abilities, some who are living and some who've passed. So, yeah, I think there's some DNA connection to the ease with which someone is able to connect.
Chip, what have you concluded about what all this might be, what the other side might be? What is this?
Not a clue. I think that it's a better, peaceful place, another dimension or realm that our energy goes to somehow. But as far as having answers, my answer a lot of the times is I don't know.
Totally convinced it's real, though, and happening?
99%. You know, I would like to think that I'm not delusional. But from my experiences and the experiences of other people that are like me, I honestly can't believe that there can be that many people that have had these sort of experiences that can be invalid.
Yes or no here. Life after death, is there an afterlife?
Yes.
Is there a God?
There is a collective.
Is there a devil?
There's an evil collective.
So there is evil.
If you think about it, our universe is made up of dichotomies and opposites. There's day and night, dark and light, cold and hot. If there's pure good, how can there not be pure evil?
I've always believed that, too, and felt that. Let's go to the phones. Joey in Beaumont, Texas. He's to the Rockies to get things started. Joey, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
How's it going, guys?
Good, Joey.
George, I just want to say, man, awesome show. You keep me occupied on the night shift.
Thank you, Joey. What do you do?
I work at the refineries around here.
Oh, okay. Super. Be safe out there. Some of those things, that's not easy. It's not easy work.
Yeah, that and then trying to stay awake when it's, you know, when we're kicked back.
Yeah.
But I got a question for Chip.
Okay.
Got two of them, actually. What was his favorite place to investigate of all time?
Okay.
And then also, what other paranormal groups he likes to keep up with?
All right. Favorite place of investigating, Chip?
I always love going to the Stanley Hotel. I always love going to a place called Belvoir Winery in near Kansas City, Missouri. Wonderful, wonderful place that's been featured on Ghost Hunters and on Ghost Adventures. Gettysburg, always fun to go to Gettysburg.
Oh, that's great. And Stanley Hotel in Colorado.
Belvoir Winery in Kansas City or Liberty, Missouri, and I would say Gettysburg. There are others, but those are the ones that at this late hour come to mind. Other groups that I stay in touch with, I really don't stay in touch with a lot of groups. You know, paranormal investigating is something that I enjoy doing, but I've never really been considered myself a part of a group, or really don't stay in touch with a lot of groups other than seeing people at events and things like that.
Okay, cool. Brandy's in Shingle Springs, California now, west of the Rockies. Hello, Brandy. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, glad you're with us.
Hey, okay, Chip, so I have a question.
Sure.
My husband and I have been, I've been experiencing in the last week or so what I've felt like someone trying to get my attention. I've heard my name being called out when no one else is around, and I was telling my husband about it, and we were having a drink at a little bar, and I brought up the subject of my grandpa, and the hot sauce that was sitting on the bar table completely just flipped out of nowhere. It did a complete flip.
Just bloop.
Yeah, and my grandpa passed away about a week ago, and we suspect foul play was involved.
Oh, God.
I don't know if that's what he's trying to tell me. I don't know. I don't know where to go with this.
Do you, without names here, do you have an idea who might have done it?
It's become a huge rift between our family because there's only really
one person,
one or two people that could have done it.
I understand. Go ahead, Chip.
First of all, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
If you're getting signals like that from the afterlife or from something that's a spiritual source, pay attention. Just continue to pay attention. And maybe what they're trying to tell you is that you're on the right track. You're on the right course of thinking. So we keep an open attitude and an open mind, and hopefully you'll continue to get more that will kind of guide you to the idea that, that you're on the right track. You'll stay on the right track.
Okay.
Brandy, was there any money in, was there any money involved in this?
Life insurance, yes.
There was.
Yes. And just, it was, he, the way it appeared, he had stage 4 cancer, and, you know, we were prepared for him to pass away, but it was a suicide, and the way it happened made absolutely no sense. It just couldn't have happened the way it happened.
No, I understand. Just be careful.
Let me just give you one last thing.
Go ahead, Shipper. Go ahead.
Look for bruises.
For bruises. Okay.
Yeah, but you've done a lot of these investigating, Chip. And,
I've done a lot of this type of investigations. I'm really, you know, I'm not doing readings tonight on the show. We're giving really psychic advice, but for some reason I'm supposed to tell you, has a burial or a cremation already taken place?
No. It was trying to be sped up, but we found out that it wasn't. It hasn't yet.
Look for bruises.
On the body?
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm being told there's some strange bruising.
Jeez, that's frustrating. But good advice.
Suspicious bruising.
I've always said, too, who benefits, right?
Follow the money.
Yep. Makes it easy. Thanks. Good luck to you, Brandy. Let's go next to Steve in Valley Township, Pennsylvania. First time caller. Steve, you're on with Chip Coffee. Go ahead.
Hello. First of all, thank you. George, you're my sanity right now.
Well, perfect.
And Chip, I'm a fan.
Thank you.
You have helped a friend of mine in Delaware years ago. But get to me now. I had lived in a house for 20 years with my wife and several children. From day one, we knew there was a presence there. Just strange things were happening. Lights would go on. Sometimes they wouldn't go on. We had electricians out. They replaced fixtures. Everything was fine, but the kids even knew it. So, you know, we told them it was okay, and we called it Jimmy. And there was no problems for about 17 years. One of my boys, my oldest, got to the point where I didn't know that he was practicing witchcraft.
Uh-oh.
Also using a Ouija board, and had a friend that was into voodoo. One night, I was sitting watching TV, and I heard a cup rattling on the kitchen table, and where I was sitting, I had a direct view into the kitchen. I saw the cup go across the kitchen, and it smashed on the cabinets. From that point on, I experienced disembodied voices, lots of shadows moving in the hallway upstairs. I had been attacked one night, not asleep. I walked into my bedroom to go to bed. My wife was already sleeping. She passed away in 2007. But I was actually thrown to my bed. And pressure on my chest, I could feel a hand. And I started praying, and it let go. And a lot of different strange things that have happened, injuries, constantly. But the Ouija board moved by itself. I confronted the spirit, and this entity said it wanted to kill me and my family, and it wanted my youngest son, Nick.
Gosh. How did you fight it off?
By prayer. I contacted Penn State Paranormal. They advised me on a few things. I also took some pictures and sent them to a medium in Maine, I believe she was. She told me that there were 5 entities in the house.
Is that a lot, Chip?
That's a considerable number. That may have been a low number. Who knows? That may have just been the ones that identified themselves.
How often do these entities try to kill somebody? I always thought they just wanted to injure them or scare them.
They're very insidious. The whole idea behind the whole demonic realm is that they're looking for the ruin of man and whatever that equates to.
Steve, did it ever go away?
See, that's what I'm wondering. I moved from the house in 2009. Unknowingly, I purchased the house on an Indian burial site. I did make peace with the deceased that were here because I did have experiences here. The thing is, things are still not right.
You can,
and I can feel it inside me.
Yeah.
And
well, I think that the thing that you've got to look at is just what you've said. It's prayer, reclamation of space, letting them know that you're not there to offend anybody, that you're just there to live your life, and they're welcome to be there as long as they don't cause any problems, create any difficulties, you know, alter your life and make your life in any way negative. I think that's the next approach is, again, we talked about it earlier in the show, trying everything until something works, making peace with whoever's there. If you can make peace and peacefully cohabitate in an environment, and if not, then this is your living space in the living world. And they have to respect you to some degree, or, you know, you're going to try to do banishment stuff with them. And a lot of times that involves bringing in a paranormal group or bringing in clergy and doing some sort of clearing ritual.
Chip, why do some cities require, when you sell your house, to identify and disclose that it's haunted or that you've had spirits in there? I mean, that's amazing.
It is. Some places do. Legally, I don't know what the whole law thing about it is, but I would imagine it's because people have walked into houses and found out that it's just like leaking plumbing. If you go in and you cause some sort of psychological
harm,
that's part of it.
Isn't that, though, an admission from government that the other side exists?
Good point.
I mean, it was, I remember in Miracle on 34th Street, that old movie.
Do you know what? You're gonna go, oh my gosh, that's exactly the first thing that came into my mind, George.
Am I reading you or are you reading me? Huh?
I think we're just having a Vulcan mind meld.
We really are. Because I remember the scene where they brought in all those postage stamps and mail, that's right, to prove that Santa existed. If the post office said it was there, then it was there. And in this case, if government says you got to disclose that the place is haunted, what the heck does that tell you?
Right.
Joanne in Long Island, New York. Hi, Joanne. Go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, Chip.
Hi.
Hi, dear.
I love you, Chip, and my sister loves you. She would die right now if she knew that I was talking on the phone to Chip.
Well, but he'd still communicate with her somehow.
Talk to her.
And you too, George. But anyway, I just wanted to mention, I did actually have a quick question for you, Chip. But I did want to mention something. I've called in before, like with near-death experience and so forth like that. But my mom passed away. I had taken care of her. She was bedbound for 2.5 years. And I first year or two after she died, I'd never dreamt of her or anything like that. But I would feel her near. And then I started to dream about her. And when I dreamt about her, it would be on a beach. I would be walking along the beach, and there'd be a person coming the opposite way. And when she got close enough, I could see that it was my mom. And she was smiling and happy and no longer in pain and able to walk, and she was much younger than me. And she never spoke to me, though. You know, I would try to speak to her, and I would wake up. And then I remember dreaming it one more time, and then I'd say, gee, Mom, I just wish you would tell me what you want to say. 3 days later, my niece, who was very, very close with my mom, calls me and says, oh, my gosh, Aunt Joanne, I have to tell you about this dream that I had. I was on the beach, and I was walking along the beach, and someone was coming towards me on the beach, and it was Nana. And she was young again, and she was talking to me and everything. She said, oh, by the way, hon, could you just do me a favor? please just tell Joanne, I'm so sorry. I never got the chance to thank her. And when she said that, I just melted. You know, I never cried for my mom's death, but she used my niece to speak to me. So, but what I wanted to say to you, Chip, was when you go into these places, whether you have a positive or a negative experience, where do you feel what you feel? Is it in the core? It's like deep in the core, like you feel like a sick feeling when it's negative, or when it's a good feeling, like you're at home again when you're with your family or something?
Sometimes we'll get a headache. Sometimes we'll get sick to my stomach, nauseated, pain in my back. But I hope that answers your question, because I'm going to go back to the whole mom thing for a second.
I've got a minute left, Chipper. Go ahead.
I'm going to go back with the mom thing, and the whole mom thing is, if you're really deep in grief and you're anguished, that can sometimes serve as a barrier to the dead communicating with you. So your mom got through to you the best way that she could. As your grief alleviates, you'll find it easier to communicate with your mom.
Chip, give out your website, sir.
Chipcoffee.com, ChipCoffeey.com.
All right, my friend. Be well, and... Gosh, you stumped me.
I was glad to be able to stump you this evening, and I look forward to doing another appearance on your show very soon, my friend.
You got it. Chip Coffee, a psychic medium. Now, next hour, one more person behind the secret door. I've got one right, I've got one wrong. This will decide whether I'm victorious for the night or if I go down into defeat. We shall find out. They select them. My producers select them. I have no idea who they pick. I'll do the best I can.